Welcome to this time of worship. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We're gathering for our Lenten study, which took place on March 24th, 2021. I do want to remind you of some things coming up this weekend. On Palm Sunday, which is the 28th of March, we'll be having a gathering at the church to distribute palms, to have people turn in their One Great Hour of Sharing and fish bank offerings. That'll happen in person from noon until 2, outside. Masks are required, and there will be social distancing. We do invite you also to join in our Zoom coffee hour. That'll be at 9 a.m., and also for our education hour at 10 o'clock. That includes talkback, which is a good opportunity to discuss the themes of the service. Those are available via the link I am sending out on Zoom on Wednesdays and on Saturdays. We also want to invite everybody to our Maundy-Thursday service. That'll be taking place April 1st at 6:30 p.m. We'll be joining together in communion, and again, that's a Zoom worship service, and that link will be sent out on Wednesday as well. Take a moment to open yourself to God's love and God's presence. Offer a prayer of thanks to the gift of the place where you are, and let's join together in this time of worship.
Call to worship. Whoever serves me must follow me, says the Lord. And where I am, there will be my servant, there will my servant be also. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly cause of God in Christ Jesus. We have come together to worship God.
What you have sent him from your side, you walk upon this gentle side, and to become the Lamb of God, O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God, O wash me in his precious blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love we crucified. We have done scorned him as he died. The humble king we name a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to become the Lamb of God. by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us from sin and death. Breathe upon us with the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised in the new life of Christ, and serve you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. If then there is encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing selfish, ambition, or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equally with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Sydney. Our gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 34 through 50. This passage is right between when Jesus is meeting with people in the temple. They are getting ready for this final time of conversation before heading to the upper room where the Passover will take place. And so it's the last of Jesus's conversations with the crowd. The thing that's really significant is throughout this first 12 chapters of John's gospel, there's been this conflict. And we tend to just typify it and think of it as conflict with the religious leaders, particularly with the Pharisees. But this conflict actually is more of the conflict that people have between accepting what Jesus is teaching and their own resistance based upon tradition, based upon wanting to keep some control over our ways of seeing the world, over self-justification and pride. And so even though it is this ongoing battle at various times about forgiveness, about belief, about authority, about God's grace, it's really something that we fight ourselves rather than just outwardly being between Jesus and the Pharisees especially. So this brings all of that to a close as Jesus is getting ready to walk away from these conversations and these arguments that have taken place and go to the upper room where he will be gathered with his disciples. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you will not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you might become children of light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they might look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as a judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me." May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as we're coming near the end of this Lenten journey, we pray that you would enable this to be still a time of accomplishing your will and your work in our hearts. We are eager to be able to move on to the things that come next. We're excited about being able to fulfill this time. And yet there is still more to learn. There's still more that we could share. We know you are calling us to simply allow you to continue to work in our hearts and in our minds for renewal. We open ourselves to your teaching and your word, your love and your healing presence. Show us how we might continue to use this Lenten time and our willingness to be transformed so that we can grow closer to you, Jesus our Lord, and that we might be able to know the fullness of knowledge of God. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. This is the last of our Wednesday Lenten gatherings. Next week is Holy Week, and we'll be getting together again a week from tomorrow on Monday, Thursday, for the occasion of the Last Supper. And so it's appropriate that we look at this passage, which is this transition, this movement from what has been this time of instruction and calling to discipleship, because next week is time to look at the gift that Jesus gives us of the fellowship that we have with God through his body and through his blood. As we do so, it's important that we not jump the gun, not move past this last moment. These weeks that we have had in Lent have been valuable. They have been a time to be able to deepen our faith, to open our hearts to what God might teach us, to experience the Holy Spirit in new and powerful ways. And so it's really important that we continue to allow this time of the Spirit to work within us. Today's topic has been to talk about how we take this special time, these 40 days that we have been given, and have it move into our daily life, into our consistent practice, and especially into something that sustains us throughout all of the year. The way in which Lent takes place in the Christian year is intended to be a time of being able to be open to a profound and special time of renewal that then will carry us into greater service to Christ and living in faithfulness that will bear fruit through all of the year. So part of the question is, how do we move next into these next things? A lot depends upon what the nature of our relationship with God and our image of God has been. if our image of God is that God is the one we go to in emergencies, that God is the one we ask to rescue us when things go wrong, kind of like a fire extinguisher that we break the glass and pull it out when things go haywire, then that means that our spiritual life is going to be a series of crises and catastrophes and things of God having to rescue us and bail us out of things that are out of control. Similarly, if our relationship with God is mostly based upon wanting God to comfort us, to help us with our anxiousness, to make us feel better about ourselves, then our walk with Christ is going to tend to be this alternating between highs and lows of some periods of time of being able to experience God's love and blessings, but us largely discounting that when things are going well. And then finally, if our relationship with Christ is based on obligation, if it's based upon what we think other people expect of us or the way we want to appear to other people, then it's going to be very hard to maintain any steady faith, any consistency. The challenge is moving to where our relationship with Christ is not based on all of the externals, our experiences, or what we think other people feel about us, but based upon Christ as our foundation, our source of strength. Our goal is that our relationship with Christ become a lot like breathing, that it's something that is an essential part of who we are and what we do, that our faith is not something we do when we have time to do it or that we add, but it's foundational to who we have been created to be and what we continue to live through as God has led us. And so in those times in which we're thinking we'd love to deepen our spiritual faith, we'd like to be better in our spiritual practices, the bigger question is, do we want to be the people whom God is creating us to be and to fulfill what is our true purpose? It's a question of how do we become rather than what should we do. There's a story of a monastery, and the abbot manned the gate of the monastery when people would come to ask to come inside. And one day a man came seeking admission into the monastery, and the abbot asked him, why is it he wanted to come inside? And the man said, I want to learn to pray. And the abbot slammed the door and said, you can learn to pray anywhere. You don't need to come here. And so a little later, another person came to the door, and the abbot answered the door, and he said, well, why are you wanting to come here? And the man said, I don't understand so many of the questions about my life and about who God is. I want to study, I want to learn, and I want to grow. And the abbot said, this isn't a school, and slammed the door and sent the man away. Sometime later, a young man came to the door and knocked, and the abbot answered him and asked the same question, why are you here? And the young man said with a sigh, I have no place to go. I have nowhere else to be. And the abbot said, finally, somebody who is fit for this journey, come in, and open the door to him. The point of the story is that we don't come into our relationship with God because we want to improve ourselves or to fix things. That's not a very effective way to be able to deepen our knowledge of Christ, or is going to be very useful in terms of the practices that we choose. Unfortunately, if our practices are based upon wanting to just improve things or make things a little better for ourselves, we're going to tire quickly. We're going to start missing days and then eventually disregard it altogether. It's going to be extremely hard to be able to make it an essential part of what we do. But if we come to Christ with the knowledge that there's no place else to go, there's no other source for what it is we need, and there is no other possibility in terms of being able to find meaning and purpose, then we've come with the right attitude. And it's in that attitude that we're really going to have the opportunity to fully experience the grace, the love, and the fullness of what God is giving us. In that passage from John's gospel that I read for you, there is this continued element of conflict that is kind of brought to this very sad culmination, especially when in the passage it says that many believed in Jesus, but they did not confess it. And what's kind of significant is the term that John uses for confess is not simply to say it out loud, but it means to orient their lives, to align themselves with Jesus's teaching. Because they loved human glory more than they loved the glory that comes from God. Now, when we talk about glory, that's not something that means that we are suddenly raised up on a pedestal and given all sorts of affirmation. What it means is that their self-esteem came from the way their neighbors looked upon them, rather than their hearts being cast in a place of transformation and healing from Christ. It means that their desire was to just improve some things about themselves rather than to know the fullness of God's blessing and intention for them. They were living out of a desire to just reform a few things rather than an openness to God's complete transforming love. One of the things that's helpful to understand, and I've mentioned it before when we've done some of these sessions over this Lenten period, is that in the early church, particularly in the time of John's community, the place where this gospel was written, they saw the challenges a little differently in terms of spiritual life and what it meant to grow in Christ. We tend to see it as something we add. We add more spirituality, we add more maturity, we add more knowledge, and that somehow we become more as God created us to be. John's community and the early church actually saw it the other way around, that it's the stuff that we add that gets us in trouble. More than that, they often would point out that it's not that Jesus had anything that we don't have. It's that the things that we have interfere with us being able to fully live as Christ lived. And so that's part of what makes this passage from the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi make so much more sense. He said, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness." And the point was that he let go of his clinging to equality with God. He let go of all of the things that would separate him from people, that would keep him from being able to be in a place of fellowship and transformation, because that was his purpose. His purpose was to come and fulfill that work with us. And this is part of what we hope will happen in this last couple of days as we get into this last week of Lent, is that we might consider not trying to add more stuff, but take some stuff away. Let some stuff go. Particularly all the things that might be under the heading of grasping equality with God. Now, I know you're not probably planning to create a planet or bring life out of dust, but you do tend to want to put your will over God's will. It's not that's unusual. It's just what we all do. It isn't that you are in some fashion wanting to be able to take over all of the reign of eternity is that you just want to have your concerns and your needs dealt with before worrying about anything else. That is a equality with God grasping, even though we'd like to justify it or in so many other ways, set it aside. And the hard work is to let go of that, to set it aside, and in place of that, to choose our purpose. Jesus's purpose that he chose was that he was called to be the reconciliation for humanity, the sacrifice that would end the division with God. He was the light of the world, the one gift of direction for all of those who wanted to abide in that light. And this is what Christ is teaching us and sharing with us today. The power of living our purpose, our true calling, our real selves. To let go of all of the other stuff and just be who you really are created to be. Finding our purpose takes a little bit of work. I'm not talking about the things we do, those are roles that we might take. I'm talking about what is at the heart of what God created within you that is your distinct and unique way of serving and living, that it energizes you rather than diminishes you, that it is fulfilling, that it connects with what is at the true heart of your life. It helps to write a purpose statement. Find the words that resonate with that. For myself, and I'm not saying this to boast, but my purpose is to creatively enable others to come closer to Christ through the gifts of speaking, writing, ministry, and counseling. And it's helpful to back up and look at that purpose frequently. I have a lot of other chores. I have other things to do. But on those days in which I realize that I need to focus on that true purpose and not on all the other distractions are the days that I'm most empowered. I feel the most energy. It is the most fulfilling. Your purpose might be facilitating people to be able to develop their gifts. Or your purpose might be to teach. Your purpose might be as a healer, as a mentor, as a friend. You have a purpose. And the thing which is helpful is to quietly and thoughtfully reach back in your experience to see what that is. It isn't, again, about writing, oh, I like doing this stuff, or these are the things I want to do. Those are all roles, and they flow out of your purpose. But your purpose is your heart's desire. The thing that you really want to be able to do that makes you complete and close to Christ and in right relationship with other people. It's a real good goal to be able to have something written down for yourself before the end of Lent and use that statement. Remind yourself of it first thing in the morning, that as you start the day, you want to measure your success and your capability of the day based upon whether or not it's fulfilling of the purpose that God created you to fulfill. Use it when your life becomes cluttered, when you have so many things competing for your time, and when you feel like you're not sure that everything you're doing is worthwhile. It's a good way to be able to also recommit further as to how Christ will use us. The thing which is very profound that the Apostle Paul is saying to us is that emptying himself and being a servant in human likeness and even faithful unto the cross was not an obligation to Jesus. It wasn't a punishment. It wasn't a means in which he was simply fulfilling a role. That's who he is. He is the one who so loves that it is his fulfillment to be able to make that sacrifice, and even more fulfilling when he sees us respond to that sacrifice, so that As a result, every knee will bend and all tongues will confess that he is Lord. That just flows naturally out of his purpose. You have a purpose. You have a role. You have been created by God, unique and special and capable. Take time to discover what you could write down as that statement, as that thought, and hold on to it. Use it regularly and discover that God desires to be able to transform the world through your purpose. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our Savior, we way too frequently settle for what is too small and too meaningless in the lives that you have given us to live. And we struggle with how to use our time, with what is important, when you have already given us what is naturally to flow through us, our purpose and our true capabilities to be able to be a part of the work you're doing. As we continue towards the end of this Lenten season, renew our commitment and our zeal to experience the fullness of life that is your desire for us, and enable us in that joy, in that strength, and in that love to be able to be the people whom you have created to be and to do the work to fulfill your will. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Presbyterian Hunger Program is part of the Presbyterian mission and focus on alleviating hunger and its root causes, such as poverty. They work hard with different programs such as Joining Hands and Presbyterian World Mission to fight world hunger depending on the situation. They help people both national and international.
We do hope that you'll consider making a gift to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering and recognize God's blessings to us mean that we can be a blessing to so many people in the world.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of worship. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving, and we rejoice in the gifts that God gives us as we come together. God's blessings be with you and your family. Stay safe. We look forward to when we can be together again.